It's about Jesus' birth this year, but I couldn't help but think last night, you know, the birth of Jesus is not really what brought us victory. It started there, but I'm so thankful that Jesus was willing to shed his blood for you and me. And if we would all just get honest with ourselves, not a single one of us deserved that. But man, aren't you glad that greater love hath no man than this, and a man laid down his life for his friends? I'm glad that Jesus called me his friend before I was even saved. And that's saying a lot, because I wasn't a very good friend. And sometimes, you know, I look back now and I think, even in my state now, I'm just not a very good friend to Jesus sometimes. But I'm so thankful he's a good friend to me. Aren't you? Luke chapter number 2 this morning. It is Christmas Eve, and I thought it would only be appropriate to read Luke chapter number 2. We'll read down through verse number 20, but I want to focus on a couple of verses this morning, and then we'll get you out of here, and hopefully you'll enjoy your families. I know we all will, but I'm thankful you chose to get up this morning and spend some time around the Word of God in church. Luke chapter number 2. Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that last blood that was shed. Thank you for the blood being enough. Lord, we ask you now to, Lord, bind the devil off this place this morning. Meet with us, Lord. We want to hear from heaven this morning. It would be a waste of our time to come to your house this morning, Lord, and you not be home. Lord, we're welcoming your spirit in. Lord, cleanse us from sin, Lord. Empty me of self, Lord. Fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to preach with clarity, Lord, what it is that you would have for your people to hear. Lord, what you've given me, allow me to just give it back as a messenger the best I can. But Lord, ultimately, I don't want them to hear from Drew. I want them to hear from heaven this morning, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, just come in and cover the minds and hearts of your people this morning. God, meet with us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, when you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be, what, church? Taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be, what, church? And I want you to pay attention to these two verses. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there came, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Can I just say, aren't you glad there came a day when the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone about you? Aren't you glad there was a day that Jesus thought about you and said, you know what, it's time for my glory to shine in your life? We call that conviction. And folks, at that moment in time, when Jesus Christ decides to give away a little bit of his glory and puts it onto your heart, that you're just a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, at that moment of conviction, folks, you have a choice to make. At that moment, you are responsible. At that moment, you will die and go to hell without Christ. You have a decision to make at the very moment that Jesus Christ decides to send his Holy Spirit and glory shines around you. You become responsible. There's no certain age of accountability. I know we hear that, but nowhere in the Bible is there an age. I'll tell you what that accountability age is. It's when God decides to send his Holy Spirit and convict your heart and show you your need of salvation, of a Savior. That's the moment that you're responsible. That's the age that you're accountable. Folks, I believe, I'm telling you right now, I've met 30 and 40-year-old couples in Seward, Alaska, walking a bike path, a couple from Germany that were in their 40s that had never heard the name of Jesus. And do you say, well, what if they'd have died before that? I believe they wouldn't have died before that, because God said he's going to lighten every man that walks the face of this earth. He's going to do it. And guess what? That moment in Seward, Alaska, that couple from Germany that was on their honeymoon in Seward, God sent by a preacher to tell them about Jesus. They may never get another opportunity, but listen, God lightened them that day. Amen. There's no certain age. I've seen people born again at 3 and 4 years old that understood that they were lost, that they needed a Savior, and without Him they were going to go to hell. And I've seen people saved on their deathbed. Folks, listen, when God decides to deal with you, you better listen. It's very important. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around. I'm so thankful that God shone His glory around me. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Think about the moment you heard about Jesus the very first time. You know what He was saying? Hey, you don't have to worry about what that preacher's saying anymore. You don't have to worry about that place called hell, because here's what's happening. I'm sending my Holy Spirit to convict you and show you your need of a Savior. And if you'll just accept the free gift that I'm offering you, it's good. It's good tidings of great joy to all people. Folks, man, woman, boy or girl, red, yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus Christ died for all. I'm thankful I serve a whosoever shall God. Amen? Amen. Verse 11, for unto you, put your name there. For unto you, you make that personal. That's pretty personal when you say, for unto Drew is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He was so precious that He died for my sins. Folks, put yourself there. Put your name in that verse and just watch how real that becomes. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and let me just refresh you up on this shepherd thing. For those of you who don't know, if you've ever studied shepherds before and the manger thing, the only lambs that were ever laid in a manger, some of you might not know this, the only lambs that were ever laid in a manger or wrapped in swaddling clothes were lambs that were perfect and spotless and without blemish. They said that was going to be a sign unto them. See, the angel knew that it couldn't just be any baby laying there. Folks, it had to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the shepherds were like, whoa, there must be something different about that lamb. Hey, can I say there was something different about that lamb? Amen? A whole bunch different about that lamb. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them according to this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Flip back to verse number 6. I want to show you, I love that story, but I want to show you what God has shown me today. We've already touched on it just a little bit. But can I say, verse number 6, the Bible says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be what? Folks, listen. Can I say that the Savior is coming again? Amen? The Savior has already came once in the flesh. But listen, Jesus Christ, there's going to come a day, we've already touched on it, there's going to come a day, and you may be sitting here this morning, and listen, if you're saved, you ought to just be shouting amen louder than you ever have before, because you cannot go to hell. That is a very good thing, that you cannot go to hell. I like it that I ain't got to worry about that. I cannot go to hell. Why? Because Jesus Christ died, was buried, and raised Himself up from the grave by the power of God. And listen, because of that, He defeated death. He defeated hell. He offered me a gift. I took that gift, and it's mine. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I'm thankful that I have eternal life this morning. Look, some of you might be in that boat, but some of you might be in the boat of all these people sitting around Bethlehem that day, and in comes Mary and Joseph. Picture the scene. Everybody's coming into Bethlehem. Why? It's not because it's Christmas time. It's because what? It's tax season. They had to come back to pay the taxes. Folks, there was no room for them to stay. All the hotels were full. All the rooms were full. But listen, I couldn't help but think as I read that verse number 7. Look at this. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. It brought me to a question. I wonder this morning, do you have room for Jesus? I wonder if you have room for Jesus inside of you this morning. I wonder how many of you are like all these people walking around looking for a place to stay. Maybe you're just busy. You know, these people are walking around worried about money. They're paying their taxes. I'm sure they're frustrated, no doubt. They're worrying about how they're going to do this, where they're going to stay. And in comes Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and literally the Savior of the world. And no one had a place for him. Doesn't that sound like our country today? Folks, listen, yes, we can fill these church pews until we die, but we're never going to scratch the surface just doing that. We've got to get out those doors. We've got to get into the other towns. We've got to get into the other states, into the other countries. Folks, all around us, there's people. But listen, Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus is still on the scene. Jesus is still alive and well. Bible's still being preached. Preachers are still preaching. People are still spreading the gospel. But all around us, there's people that just have no room for Jesus. Folks, in our church pews, there's people that don't have room for Jesus. They'll sit in a pew for years and years, and they'll give, and they'll go, and they'll pray, and they'll teach, and they'll preach. But they've never made room for Jesus in their heart, and they think that their works are going to make it. Can I say that's a lie from the devil? Nobody's works have ever been good enough. Folks, the only work that's good enough is the work that God did through his son Jesus. You got to think about what Jesus left. See, Jesus didn't just come on the scene when he was born. He's all the way back there in Genesis 1. When we were created in their image, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost has always been, has always, and always will be. Amen. Listen, God has always been. Jesus has always been. He chose to leave his throne room in heaven, chose to leave the right hand of the Father, chose to be obedient unto God. And God said, I don't know how these people are ever going to make it to heaven. Nobody went to heaven in the Old Testament. And God said, look, for them to get to where I want them to be, for them to be able to spend eternity with me, there's got to be a sacrifice. But not just any sacrifice. It's got to be a perfect sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, a pure sacrifice. And I could picture him looking over to his right and saying, there's a good one right there. What do you think, Jesus? And Jesus said, hey, we created them. If we ever want to spend eternity with them, somebody's going to have to die. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there are no remission of sins. And God said, okay, we're going to send you through a virgin. Why through a virgin? Because she was pure. She was chastened. She had not been messed with. She was pure. God chose her. And he through a virgin, he came and was born. And listen, imagine this. How many mothers we got in here today? If nothing else, this should do something for all you mamas. Listen, when you birth that baby, before you birth that baby, and I can't tell you I know from experience, but I watched my wife carry seven. We lost one. But I watched her carry six and birth them, and I'm telling you, there's a bond there even before the baby's born that the mother has. Do you think for a second that Mary's bond with baby Jesus was any different than your bond with your children? Folks, she carried the Savior of the world. And imagine, you think Jesus didn't cry? You think Jesus didn't have to have his diaper changed? You think Jesus didn't have to be fed? Hell, you think Jesus didn't get potty trained? Folks, this was the same thing. She raised him up, just like you raise your children. And 33 and a half years later, she watched a cruel, lost, and dying world murder her son. For what? For nothing. For your and my sins. He did absolutely nothing wrong. Ladies, imagine you raising those babies up. And see, Jesus never got married, that we know of. There's no record of that. He never committed a single sin. How many moms would say, man, that'd be cool to raise a child that never committed a sin, right? be funny, but not going to happen, okay? So don't get your hopes up. But imagine, 33 and a half years. Imagine walking around and listening to him preach in the synagogue. Imagine watching him heal on the Sabbath. Imagine watching him as they come, and imagine watching one of his best dudes betray him with a kiss. Imagine, Mary's still there. She was at the cross. You know the story. Mary's still there. Imagine sitting at the foot of the cross and watching this son that's not just a 33 and a half year old to her. You know what? There's no doubt she had flashbacks to her baby being born. No doubt tears were running down her face as to how innocent her baby boy was. I was a virgin. You chose the Holy Spirit. And this is all making sense to her now. This is what the angel was talking about. Folks, listen. She literally went through that. And can I say, what for? For you? For me? Jesus went through that for you? For me? Let me ask you this. Are you like all these people who are just busy? Just walking around? Everyday life's going on? And here Mary says, hey, I'm literally carrying the Savior of the world. I could just picture the guy saying, we don't have any room for that. You know what happens every time you tell someone about Jesus and conviction happens and they say, well, I'm just not ready. You know what they're saying? I just don't have room for Jesus. Folks, listen. If you've made room for Jesus, congratulations. But if you're sitting in this room this morning and God has convicted you, the Holy Spirit of God has came down and shown you reality that you are a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving, and I said it, hell-deserving sinner, listen to me, you better make room for Jesus. You do not know if you're going to get another opportunity. For you to say, I'll do it next time, listen, you don't know that. God, the last time I read the Bible, he holds the keys to death and hell. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's going to come or has already come a day when Jesus is coming by your way. What will you do when the Savior comes by your way? Will you have room for Jesus? I wonder how many here today would say Jesus has come your way looking for a place to reside, but you just have no room. What are some reasons why we wouldn't have room for Jesus? I'm sure you could have your own reasons, but here's some things I just jotted down that came to my mind. Maybe we're just too busy. How many get caught up and get busy? Wake up every day and life's a routine, right? And I'll tell you what really bothers me, and it shouldn't be like this because here's the deal. I shouldn't be this busy. But if something doesn't, if I got a schedule and something makes my schedule get out of whack, how many does that bother? And I mean, all you can think about is what you should be doing. And most of the time, the thing that got your schedule out of whack is probably more important than the thing you thought was important. But man, it just gets you off. Listen, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I stopped to get gas at Chevron. I walk in there. The lady says, you know, if you download our Chevron app, your next three fuel ups will be a dollar off. And she was right. And 30 minutes later, I got my dollar off of gas. But I start fueling up. I paid cash. Start fueling up, and it got to $1.37, and the pump shut off. I'm like, well, I just prepaid $80. So she's like, well, I don't know, sir. My whole system just broke down. So now I'm like, well, can I just get my money back? Because I really need to get home. I got stuff going on. She's like, I can't even open the drawer. I'm like, great. So I'm sitting here thinking, why, God, did you stop me at this store for 30 minutes? For what? I mean, and listen, it all boils down to this. There's a reason that God kept me there for 30 minutes. I don't know what that reason was. You know, she found out I was a preacher within that 30 minutes. She got invited to church. And here's the deal. I don't know what God's going to do with it. I don't know. But you know what? She was on the phone with her manager. And I'll tell you what I did like, and I'm not being prideful, but she said, I just want you to know this customer and his son are being so patient. This guy hasn't gotten impatient one time. There were other customers that came in during the time, and I got to talk to them and say, hey, you know, you could see the impatience in there as they're trying to buy a drink, and they can't do it. And I'm like, listen, I've been here for 20 minutes. She can't do anything about it. Don't worry about it. I don't know if it was just because the next guy could have been somebody that outraged on her. I don't know why God did that. But I'll tell you, in the moment, I was like, if I could just get my $80 back, there's another gas station a mile up the road. I'm sure. I forget the dollar off right now. Hey, at the end of the night, guess what? I saved $25. on gas. And I'll get to do it on my next two fuel ups too. Amen? It's good. But look, the whole time I'm there, I'm like, I just wanted to buy gas and go home. I had had family at my house for 2 days. I was tired. I went to buy groceries. Just needed to get gas and get home and relax. Wasn't what the Lord had in planned, right? But you see what I'm saying? We just get busy, right? What are some more reasons we might not have room for Jesus? Maybe the lifestyle you're living won't allow you to have room for Jesus. Hey, folks, listen. We get this mishap that we can do whatever we want and God's going to be okay with it. Well, here's the deal. Your sin has been paid for. But it's like this. If a child openly lives in rebellion, they're not going to have a very good relationship with mom and dad. They're going to get to the point where they're not even going to want to be around mom and dad and parents. Pay attention to this kind of stuff in your home. When your children begin to be absent and they come in and they just kind of like, not really hungry. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been there. And I know my children. And I know all my children are tight-knit. And when one of them tries to stray a little bit, there's always a reason. And it's usually because they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. And the relationship is hindered. Well, can I say, it's kind of like that with God. And it's not that God leaves you or forsakes you. That would be anti-Bible. But here's the problem. We walk away from Him. And I don't call it backsliding. I call it rebellion. It's what it is. Because he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Call it what it is, right? It's sin. And here's the deal. But we still want to have all the blessings bestowed upon us. No, no. God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we don't get to have everything we want and still live like we want to. Now, we can still die and go to heaven, and we'll get there and we'll make it. But folks, I don't know about you, but I like the part of lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I like it when people get saved under our ministry. I like it when lives are changed and people are helped. And I like to see a difference made for the cause of Christ. I don't want to just live my life. I couldn't imagine a man or woman to be saved 30, 40, 50 years, die, and never lead one person to Christ. I just cannot imagine. Can I say, folks, that's not why God saved you. He saved you to take what you didn't deserve, but you got, and go give it to somebody else. Just tell them how undeserving you were. If you want to know where to start, just start with how undeserving you were and how good God was to you. Try it sometime. Maybe what we're doing, our lifestyle just won't allow us. Why else won't we have room for Jesus? Can I say, maybe you're in a friendship or a relationship that just don't want anything to do with Jesus? Maybe you got a friend. You remember Amnon? Boy, he had a friend, and he talked him into being with his own sister. Because why? Because you're the king's son. You should have whatever you want. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. You got friends like that. I don't know why you waste your time in church on Sunday. Maybe you got a, you know, not a spouse, but maybe teenagers. You got a girlfriend, boyfriend. Maybe you want to serve the Lord, but you know good and well that young man or that young lady does not. You know what the Bible says? Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Why? Because black and white don't go together. You understand what I'm saying? Red and yellow, they don't go together. Blue and green, they don't go together. What it is you got to be yoked up in unity, is what I'm talking about. If she wants to serve the Lord and he just wants to be an alcoholic, hey, young lady, you're not married to him. Throw him to the curb. Get as far away from him as you possibly can and don't look back. Likewise, young man, if you want to serve the Lord and she wants nothing to do with the Lord, don't confuse and lie to yourself and say, well, I'll just do right and she'll follow. No, tell her goodbye. Don't look back. Hey, you know what happened when Lot's wife looked back? She got turned to a pillar of salt because she couldn't stop thinking about the sin. Lot kept going. Hey, sometimes we ought to just ditch some of these people and keep on going for the cause of Christ, because all they're going to do is bring you down. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. You can have all the good intentions you want, but if you're constantly communicating with evil, it's going to corrupt your good manners. What you meant to do, you're never going to do. Why? because you're too busy trying to please the people around you, can I say you better worry about pleasing God. And you might just be surprised the blessings that come your way. And you'll say, man, I didn't deserve that. I don't know where that came from. Oh, yeah, you do. You just try to do right. And God poured out a little bit of grace just to show you how good he is. Folks, that's the God we serve. Why else don't we have room for Jesus? Can I say that when Jesus decides to come by your way, folks, it's just not wise to reject him. None of us are ever promised another opportunity. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9 this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. We're almost done. You've been very attentive and I thank you for it. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. People say it all the time, I'll just get saved next time. Folks, listen, 2.5 years. God spared my life from the time I was 7 to 9.5 years old. For 2.5 years, he didn't have to. He could have taken me as a little child. His promise would have been held up because you know what happened at 7 years old? Glory shone around me and the Spirit of God lightened me. I did not get saved until I was 9 years old. But if God would have chose to take me off this earth between 7 and 9, I'd still be in hell today. Right next to that old rich man, begging somebody for some relief. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want nothing to do with that. We're not promised tomorrow. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, 27. Here's what the Bible says. And as it is what, church? Appointed unto man once to what? And but after this, the what? You know, many of us, we have doctor's appointments we go to, right? They say, well, your appointment's at 11:15. You try to be there by 11:15. But here's the reality of a doctor appointment. You could call them, and you could say, hey, I can't make it today. And what will they do? Reschedule. Hey, you're not going to reschedule this appointment. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. Now, I believe in CPR. I believe in resuscitation. I know it's real, but it's only real because God allowed it to happen. I've seen people being resuscitated that came back, and I've been on there. I've done CPR on people and shocked them, and not another breath of air ever came out of their lungs. Why? Because it was their time to go. You're not going to escape your appointed time, and you don't know when it is. My question is, have you made room for Jesus in your heart? The firstborn son of Mary, that no one had room for in the end. Can I say is the same only begotten Son of God that many have no room for today? What a sad fact. Why would someone reject such a gift as this? Ephesians chapter number 2, let's go there. I couldn't help but think of this verse, it being Christmas time. How many are excited to give your gifts away to your kids and your grandkids today and tomorrow? How many are excited about just the thought of your kids? You know that thought you get when you buy that gift and you're like, man, I cannot wait to give that gift away? Well, folks, this is fixing to get good. Could you imagine how God feels whenever he's like, you know what? We're going to convict that old boy today. And I could have just imagined the anticipation that God has on his face and in his heart when that gift has already been offered and he's like, man, I wonder if he'll just take this gift. You imagine how excited God gets when that sinner repents, turns away from their wicked ways and says, God, I'll take that gift. Hey, as excited as you and I are about tomorrow, waking up and seeing the smiles on our kids' faces and giving them what we've gotten for them, what we've saved money for, what we've bought them, folks, all that's carnal.
Come on, think about it.
It's carnal. They're not going anywhere with that. All that stuff that's going to make them smile today, folks, it's carnal. It's not bad, but it's carnal. It's not going to last forever. How much more is a free gift of eternal life? You know what that is? That's eternal. That's everlasting. That's the smile that's going to crack a sinner's face that'll never go away. Man, they'll die smiling. Say, how you know that? Hey, I have literally experienced folks die with smiles on their faces. And I've seen some pretty traumatic folks. some traumatic looks on people's faces. And you know what I think the difference is? I can't prove this, but I'd like to think the Bible says absent from the body, present with the what? Lord. That sure would make me smile. You go ahead and threaten me with heaven. Go ahead. I know where I'm going when I die. But for those of you who don't, and or you do know, but you've just chosen to reject that, you can forget about dying with a smile on your face. And what's sadder than that is standing at a funeral over a man's casket who has been in church his whole life, and everybody thinks, oh, this man's saved. But his wife and children come up and say, I just want you to know, brother so-and-so did not know the Lord according to us. He did not make any public profession, and I don't want you to say that he did. I don't want you to lie at this funeral. Hey, it gets pretty real then, don't it? It's easy to stand up here and preach a funeral when you know they're not there. They're there. But man, it's hard. And I know we're not the judge of the heart. Don't get me wrong. I realize that. But when they've openly told you, no, I don't know the Lord and I have no desire. And everybody thinks you're just going to preach, oh, happy day. No, that's not a happy day when someone dies and goes to hell. It's not a happy day. And it ought not be faked into being a happy day. You ought to dread that. And the wife says, I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to tell everyone in here about Jesus. Hey, but don't lie to him and tell him that he's in heaven. That's not a happy day. That's difficult. But can I say it's reality? But what about that gift? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We're almost done. For by grace are ye what, church? Through what? And that not of what? So, if I'm not saved of myself, is there anything in my own power that I can do to make it to heaven? Anything. What's the answer, church? No. Folks, listen. All across this country this morning, there are people sitting in the pews of church who think that they got it figured out. They've been led to believe that their works will save them. They've been led to believe that that water behind that curtain will save them. Folks, that's not anywhere in your Bible. That's not. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. So can I go to heaven without baptism? Did the thief on the cross go to heaven? I don't read where he got off the cross and got baptized. Jesus said, today thou will be with me in paradise. Y'all all right? He didn't get baptized, did he? He made it. Why? Because he confessed and believed in his heart that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And right next to him, his sins were being paid for at that moment. That's pretty real, ain't it? It ain't that personal with us. But man, he watched it happen. He watched his sins be paid for. And he believed. And here's what bothers me. How many more people were at the foot of that cross that day? How many hundreds of people watched that crucifixion and not a single record of another individual believed at the cross? Only the thief on the cross said, what must I do? And Jesus said, today. You know what had happened? That thief had already believed. He was confessing Jesus right then and there. And I can't wait to meet him. He's going to be there. Isn't that cool to think about? He's going to be there someday. But look at this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what, church? Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I say, 6,000 and some odd years ago, that gift was born into this world. We read about it this morning. 6,000 and some odd years ago, isn't it weird and isn't it odd that before Jesus was even born, people already started saying we don't have any room for him? Y'all get this thing? Listen, it's still going on today. But can I say that gift was for you? It was for me. And if you don't know him this morning, listen to me, and the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you, into your need of a Savior and shown you the reality that without Him, you're going to die and go to hell. That's not me making that up. That's Bible. I wonder this morning if you have room for Jesus. Miss Barb's going to come and play a hymn of invitation. Why would someone reject such a gift as this? Can we just play Just As I Am, Miss Barb?